to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio, everybody. We're excited to welcome back travel writer Debbie Stone. We call her the Fire Monkey. She has been spending some time in Maine. Now, this is an area Nancy and I have definitely wanted to go. We almost got there last year, but, you know, pandemic times and states opening up, we didn't get to go there. But this is, I can't believe the photos, the stories that she's been producing from her visit. It's definitely a destination you're going to want to go to. And today, she's going to talk about Camden, Maine. So welcome back, Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really well. And you?
Doing good. It's interesting. We are in the midst of fall colors where we are recording today. And we're in Pennsylvania, so you're back home in Santa Fe. And
yep.
I have to say, you know, this side of the country, fall colors are pretty intense. And the photos that I saw from where you were, I know you were even texting me photos while you were there. Look at this.
I know.
That was pretty mind-blowing, huh, being out
there.
It
was. I mean, I've been in New England several times, but I've never been there during the leaf peeping time. And I was like, I need to do this. And, we planned this trip to be in October to try to get, you know, peak leaf peeping time. And I think we were pretty close to it. And it was, you know, glorious. And it's really heaven there. It's just a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Mm. And so you went to Acadia National Park. So everyone, watch for these stories. You went to Portland, and we're going to be talking about that next time you're on the show. And then Booth Bay Harbor. So everybody, all these stories are coming out. The one on Camden is up on BlendRadioAndTV.com in our Vacation Station department. And so we're excited for that to be in our Vacation Station magazine coming out next. And, you know, it just seems so idyllic. Even the downtown, I just felt like, okay, I want to go have coffee. I know this was fall when you went and the colors are amazing, but I bet you spring is glorious too. Just has that
look. It is. I think all seasons are. I mean, winter can be, I mean, I'm sure winter is very cold, but I'm sure it's also very beautiful there as well. We were in Vermont last spring, and it was, I thought it was beautiful. You know, I could imagine it, you know, with the colors, and that's kind of what made me want to come back to New England was like, oh, this is gorgeous, and this isn't even the leaf peeping time, you know. So I think it's just a very charming, charming part of the country. And Maine has all these wonderful quintessential little coastal towns. And so the towns that you mentioned are all towns that go up the coast of Maine. And, you can stop in every one of them, and they're just – each one of them is like a picture postcard of what you would imagine and think that type of place would be.
It seems that it's, you know, like the towns are small business, like they've kept the integrity of the town, you know, so they have those downtowns
yes.
with mom and pop stores and restaurants, and but
yep.
then also they really celebrate their outdoors, and then you've got wine and really good food. Apparently you loaded up on lobster.
You know, I certainly did. I think I had my year's worth of lobster, or maybe my 2 years' worth of lobster. I don't know, but I had lobster in every possible form you could think of. And I'll tell you, after having Maine lobster, I certainly don't want to have lobster anywhere else. It's just so fresh, and it just, you know, it's just the best. And so, it's a great place to eat, especially if you love seafood. And it's a great place to shop if you like kind of unique, eclectic stores. And it's just a wonderful place to walk and to hike or to be on the water. I think it appeals to a lot of different palates when it comes to travel.
Mm. It's interesting when you talk about lobster, right? I'm going back there. Because, you know, Nancy and I don't eat seafood. We're both allergic to it. And
right.
I know, you know, Maine and lobster is a big, huge deal. Clam chowder, you know, down in Boston and all of that, Massachusetts. But is it a different kind of lobster with the little colder ocean versus being on the West Coast? I mean, because I know you were up in, you know, Washington State, and I know you love Oregon, so would lobster there be different than the lobster in Maine because of different species?
I think so.
Or? Okay.
I think so. I'm not sure about that, but I do know that I've had lobster on both coasts, and I think Maine lobster is seriously much, you know, more superb, put it this way. I mean, I don't usually wax poetic about something unless it's truly special, but, you know, I had lobster rolls and lobster stew and, I baked the baked lobster, where they used to boil it or steam it and serve it with corn on the cob. And, you know, I've had lobster, there was lobster tacos and lobster enchiladas and lobster omelets, and, you know what I mean? It was like lobster in everything. And
wow.
So, I certainly found it to be much better than what I've had on the West Coast, and it's just my own personal opinion.
And then, okay, so you're there eating this, but you're also seeing the fishing vessels, right? You've got the harbor areas,
yes.
Like it's Camden Harbor, and then is it Penobscot Bay? There's a bridge. How do you pronounce it?
I think it's Penobscot. Penobscot. That's how it is.
Penobscot.
I think it's Penobscot. It's either Penobscot. I think that's how it's pronounced. And Lord, I mean, I just like, oh gosh. But
I'm
in
like,
any
I
case,
going to make it not
it
make
is,
it through with that.
Yeah, it is the Camden's located right on that particular bay, and so therefore there's this beautiful park there, the Harbor Park there, and they're on the Register of Historical Places, but they are the best place in Camden. It's just a beautiful place to sit, and a lot of events happen there, outdoor events, but you can just kind of get this wonderful view of the harbor and the boats and the schooners that are coming in, and it's just a really colorful place to sit. And I started the story by saying it was a rainy day, and it was a rainy day. And we had great weather, except when we went to Camden, part of the time it was raining and kind of gray. But, I think it, as I said in my story, it just really seemed to add to that, the mood, the whole mood of the place. And it did nothing to deter me from walking around and being outside. And I just thought it enhanced the beauty in many ways. But, for people who are, who don't particularly want to be walking out in the rain, that's fine. There are some wonderful activities that will take you indoors as well. And one of those is the winery, the Cellar Door Winery. And I know you love wine.
We do love wine. And I love this, too, because we're seeing more and more women in wine. And this
yes.
is another woman who's also, entrepreneurial, but also taking control of her life and going, I'm really going to go for this, So tell us a little
yes.
bit about her, because she's got quite a story.
Yes, her name is Bettina Dalton, and she is the owner of Cellar Door Winery, and she had a career in finance for umpteen years, and she left that career because she really wanted to actually start a business or own a business, run a business. She wanted to do something different, and she'd been in investments for 20-some years, and she went to Cellar Door as a customer or as a wine taster, and then, learned that the winery was going to be for sale. And she, told me when I met her and talked with her, she didn't really know anything about running a winery at all. And so, but she loved the place. I mean, there's this incredible, 1800 barn that's timber frame that's gorgeous, beautiful. So when she took it over several years ago, she refurbished things. She built another section to the place. She enlisted the help of two winemakers, actually, who had, I think one of them had trained from Washington State. And so she really just, she did all this meticulous research, and she talked to people, and she basically just got in, full hog, so to speak, into this business and loves it and is so thrilled that she made this leap from finance to running a winery, of all things.
Mm. I think the wine sounds more fun,
Yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Every, that career, you need some wine after that, and it's,
ugh.
This is, so she's really put, her wine is like, a destination for the entire state, her winery.
It is. And it is such a beautiful place to go and wine taste. And the acreage around, the landscape is beautiful. She's got a vineyard about 5.5 acres. There's about 5,000 vines on it. They make about 12,000 cases a year. It's a boutique winery. The wine has won awards. And she's also been responsible for establishing the Maine Wine Guild. There was not a wine guild in the state. And also the statewide wine trail. And it's interesting because, you know, she wanted to bring attention to Maine wine, which a lot of people really don't know about and don't think that Maine would have wine, and yet it does. And she has been, you know, she really has been very vocal and very pivotal in establishing the industry there in terms of making a guild out of it and creating a trail for people to, you know, go to and drive around, and if they're interested, sampling the wine. And so she's really done a lot in just a few years. But she's the kind of woman, when you meet her, she's very motivated and very, you know, she's you know, very driven, and she takes things on. And when she does, it's a full, you know, full on effort for her. And it showed. It was such a delightful place to sit inside on a kind of a rainy day and just enjoy the wine and enjoy the ambiance. And it was busy. There were, you know, people were and you make appointments. You have to, you know, make a reservation. So things are monitored in terms of the numbers and everything. But it's truly a very special place, and it's just in the town over from Camden and Lincolnville. So it's a very, you know, very close by. So it's easy, a very easy place to get to.
Nice, nice. I want to go. The other thing in your article, the one destination to me, well, I'm going art and wine. They go hand in hand. The Farnsworth Museum, I really want to go there, and that's in Rockland, right?
Right.
I want to go. I mean, we've actually done so many radio shows and features. I don't know if you've been on a show with Victoria Chick, artist Victoria Chick, but your stories kind of connect all the time. Like, she's done the whole thing on the Chicago Fire, and then you did the Chicago architecture. Yeah. You know, so these stories connect. But, you know, and I know also, you know, you're a docent at the Georgia O'Keeffe Gallery Museum in Santa Fe. And so here you go. You go, you know, to the other side of the country, and you're seeing Georgia O'Keeffe in the museum there. So this is an amazing, I mean, just Winslow Homer and, oh, my gosh, Edward Hopper, the Wyeth family. I need to go there.
In Rockland is another lovely, you know, quintessential, you know, coastal town, beautiful town. And Farnsworth, the museum is extremely well known, and it's really a jewel box of a museum because of the type of the artists, the notable artists that, in their collection, and their collection is quite extensive. And, of course, you know, they can't show all of it, so it does get rotated through. The Wyeth is, they're very well known for the whole Wyeth family, representing the Wyeth family, Andrew, his father, N.C., and Andrew's son, Jamie. And so it's very, very interesting to see the, you know, the father, the son, and the grandson, so to speak, the work that comes out of them. And they basically focus on subjects that are from the area where they grew up. They grew up in the Chadsford, Pennsylvania area, and then they summered in Midcoast Maine, which is became very special to them. So, being a fan, I'm definitely a fan of Wyeth's work, and it's beautiful, and it is speaks so well to the landscape and to the mood of the place, and it's beautiful, beautiful work.
You know, we were just in Chadsford last year.
Yeah,
the oldest bed and breakfast we've ever stayed in. It dates back to the 1700s. And,
oh, how wonderful.
Wild Wisteria bed and breakfast. And their gardens are Longworth Gardens. Oh, Longwood. Uh-huh. Longwood Gardens are right there in Kennett Square. And this B&B is where the Brandywine Battle, like,
oh my
got
gosh.
Finished out right where this B&B is, and the actual building was a farm, and the farm went across the highway at that point, but now it's all split
wow.
up with roads, and, you know, so,
right.
you know, Chadsford, that whole area is so idyllic, and when I was reading about this, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool, the connection, because, you know what I mean? It's because that
it
area,
is cool.
The history, and, you know, it all ties back. That's the whole thing. If you, with your travels, and we'll get back to Maine, of course, But with your travels over the last year and a bit, right, year and a half, I'm going to say 2 years,
yes,
because with COVID, you know, you've gone all over the world, and then suddenly, boom, now you're touring America, and you've done a ton of travel, you know, and you're like us. As soon as we could get out, let's go, just be really safe about it.
Right.
Are you kind of like getting these connections of different places? Like, oh, you see like George O'Keefe here and George O'Keefe over there, or, you know what I mean? There's these historically, you know, you'll go to a place where people migrated, or maybe it was a battle, or, you know, they're traveling.
Oh, definitely.
To go west, and then you're in the place where they started, and you wonder, like, why? This is cool. You know what I mean? So,
right. Or you find that somebody, you know, that was prominent in one area of the country, you find, oh, my gosh, they came over to this area, too, you know, and you find these connections, and that it's, you know, it's really, it's such a small world in that respect, you know, there's, because people have migrated around, and events have happened in certain areas, but they've brought people to certain places for certain reasons, and I don't know, it's just, so true about the connectivity about it, because you will find it, whether it's on the West Coast or the East Coast, or people migrating through this, you know, coming through the Southwest, whatever it is, and it's fascinating because, I mean, you don't have to be some, you know, history buff to really, appreciate that type of connectivity. You can kind of just absorb it within when you're there. You're like, all of a sudden you're realizing, oh, remember we heard about that person when we were in blah, 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 or look up in some museum, you know, they talk about this or this artist here, and look, this artist was here, but this artist also painted in another place in the country, you know?
It's just kind of, it just feels more connected. It's kind of interesting doing so much of, I mean, America is just such, I mean, the United States of America is so huge. And then, I mean, you know, there's Canada, of course, and Mexico, but, I mean, it's just such a huge country. And so when you start traveling and digging in, especially, you know, the history part and you know, the nature that's been there, you know, that's preserved, still there. When you know, going to, I know you love Oregon, and we've done a lot about your adventures in Oregon and on the coast. Did it connect with you in Maine? Were they kind of similar? Because even when you were talking about, you know, it's raining, there's this drama to it. And it just seemed, I always thought Maine and, you know, I've not done New Hampshire, New England, any of that yet. Nancy and I haven't done that. And, you know, thinking about Oregon to me and Washington State has that ruggedness, that drama. So is it similar that way?
I think, you know, the coast of Maine, I think, is in some ways, there's a similarity to particularly the coast of Oregon, I think. The coast of Oregon I always think as being, like you said, you know, more rugged or more unfinished, so to speak. It's not a polished coast, you know. And, you know, Maine, you get that sense of kind of a bit of a wild coastline as well, and a lot of granite cliffs and different things. But there's also, you know, these wonderful little coastal towns. Now, of course, the vibe is a little different, and I mean the architecture is a little different. You know, there's differences in terms of that, but there's a feeling of that. I don't know, and Mainers, who the people who live in Maine, and Oregonians, who, you know, they're very. I look at them as being, I don't know, individualistic maybe, self-sufficient maybe. You know, they deal with different, whether it's weather and different elements, and, you know, they have to deal with that. And so I think there are some similarities, you know.
Now tell me about this bridge.
Oh, and by the way, I just looked up it. It's Penobscot. It's Penobscot.
Penobscot. It's like
yes,
hopscotch.
That is the
Penobscot.
Correct pronunciation. Yeah, Penobscot.
Cool.
But yes, no, the bridge, yes. So there is the Penobscot Narrows Bridge and Observatory, and this is a very cool site. It's one of the more notable sites along the coast of Maine because it is, I think it's about 420 feet high. It's taller than the Statue of Liberty, and it's the tallest public bridge observatory in the world. So it is a very cool engineering marvel. It's won many awards for its design. You access it, you take an elevator in this observation tower, and you go 42 stories above the bridge to this glass tower with these incredible 360-degree views, very dramatic, and you look above the 2,100-foot span, the bridge, which goes over this very steep gorge, and you can see on a clear day miles and miles and miles away, and views of, you know, Acadia, if you're lucky, views of Acadia National Park and Mount Katahdin, the state's tallest peak, and it's beautiful, especially the fall colors are breathtaking when you're looking up there. But I just thought it was just a really, I don't know, a very special experience. I highly recommend people, if they're on the coast of Maine, to make time for that.
And go to Fort Knox. Who knew there'd be,
yes,
Fort Knox
there?
Yes, and
it's not the Fort Knox that you know, you think,
yeah,
of
in Kentucky.
The gold bars of whatever it is. But this is a historical fort, and it was established to protect against the British naval troops that would come. But interestingly, it was never used in battle, and it wasn't really actually finished either. But you can walk around it, and what's beautiful about it is when you're on the top, kind of the ramparts, you can look at the vista, which is also extremely dramatic and lovely. But, yeah, it's very historic, built 1840s. And so, yeah, it's another historical site. And although people, when they go, they're kind of like, what? You mean this isn't where the gold bars are? You know,
yeah.
People are sometimes a little confused, and they're like, wait a second, you know, and it's like, no, this is another Fort Knox.
It just seems, though, like even with the history and then like the observatory and the bridge, that, you know, you're still so surrounded by nature. And I know you did a couple parks, and, you know, we were talking about art and connections.
Yes.
The Olmsted brothers, we were just in Asheville, North Carolina. You went to Biltmore Estate.
Yes.
I mean, he's part of that in the Arboretum in Asheville, North Carolina. They've got a wonderful statue of him. He actually designed that, and I think it only came to be once he had passed on. So this is cool. Now I'm like, because I didn't even know about him until Asheville. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes travel teaches you these things.
They do, and the name Olmsted Brothers is quite famous, and you realize when you hear it once, and then you hear it again, and you hear it again, you're like, oh, the Olmsted Brothers were very prolific, you know, and it's like,
no kidding.
Yeah, they created some of the most incredible, you know, pieces of architecture and nature and parks, and so it is fascinating. And speaking of the parks, you can go up into the Camden Hill State Park, which is right in town, and basically go to the top, and you can either drive up or you can hike up to Mount Batty, and Mount Batty has a lovely view on a beautiful day, and there's a tower there, and you can climb for even more views up there. But it's a great park because it's about 6,000 acres and lots of, you know, hiking trails, lots of different types of diversity of landscape, and so, you know, it's wonderful for people, not only the locals who live there, but visitors who want to get a little exercise, you know.
That's cool. And lodgings, let's talk about the lodgings. You know, this
let's do.
Yeah, the inn at Ocean's Edge. I'm like, okay, because you've been out hiking or driving, you've been on bridges, you've been to Fort Knox, you've been eating lobster, you've been having wine. I think a good night's sleep is going to happen.
And, you know, this place is truly a special, very special place. I mean, it's right on the water, and it's just it's one of those, another quintessential, you know, inns. This one has, this pool house spa is probably, I've never seen anything quite like it. It has the most beautiful outdoor infinity pool that you just look out onto the water, and it just is like this continuation. And, you know, it's stunning, you know, in a hot tub, and then they have a outdoor fireplace, and it just, you know, like even in the inclement weather, it's just one of those places, and you can curl up in front of a fire. I mean, it's just, it's really, really special. Lots of nice amenities, nice rooms, good staff, you know, and you know, just right outside of Camden, so you're not right in town, but you are in this very, very special environment, and I found it to be, you know, a great place to have a good night's sleep.
Ooh, I dig it. Everyone, you can check it out. Go to inatoceansedge.com. Check that out. Mainwine.com. We were talking about the winery, Cellar Door Winery. There's the Farnsworth Museum. It's farnsworthmuseum.org. And for the bridge, maine.gov/MDOT/PNBO. And you know what? I know none of us are going to write that down or remember.
No.
So it's up on the article with Debbie's article up on blendradioandtv.com. Just type in Maine or Camden and you'll find it. But this lodging, you know, I love places like that where it's really part of the experience, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I think when you're in Maine or New England, really the thing to do is to find these. I mean, these inns, there's inns everywhere in New England, but, you know, find a special inn, whether it's historic, whether it's in a scenic area, you know, whether it's just you know, oozing charm. But I think it's all part of the travel experience when you're in New England and especially on the coast of Maine. It's just really, really one of those things you want to do. I highly recommend it.
I want to go to Maine. We're jealous.
You need to go.
I know. I want to go. I love it about the Olmsted brothers. And you're so right about that. We hear the names. You go, they did that really cool stuff. But when you're there in a place where someone's actually put all this work, you know, suddenly you're like, dude, check what they did. Now you're going to remember him.
Yes.
Like, I'll remember him forever. You know, he's the father of landscape architecture.
Yes.
And he turned things down, too. He turned down you were in Presque Isle. He turned that down. He said, I'm not doing it. I don't know which state it was, if it was the Ohio part or Pennsylvania. But he's like,
wow.
I'm not doing this. I'm doing that. And he, I got all into him. Like, so I'm like, when you're going through your story, I'm like, okay, I have to go now. Now I kind of feel like I want to follow his footsteps around the country.
And, you know, it's like when we were talking about Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, it's like, you know, you can be in you can be in the Midwest and find Frank Lloyd, then you can be in the Southwest and find Frank Lloyd, you can be in Japan and find Frank, you know, I mean, it's like these men and women just, you know, that they were prolific and, you know, didn't necessarily focus on one particular place, but you'll find them in different regions. And it's just really cool to be able to say, oh, my gosh, I saw that house. I saw a park or a house that so-and-so, you know, designed and created. And then you're in somewhere totally different, and you're like, wow, here's another one. You know, it's
you
great.
Get the vibe. It goes beyond the books, you know. It's really good to have books and articles and photos, but when you experience it, you know, then you really get it. You know, that's what I was saying when you, like the landscape architect in Asheville at the Arboretum, like he has a quilt. He's like, here's a quilt made out of plants, and they change it every season. And it's like the coolest thing. You go up top and you look down, and it's a quilt. It's this giant quilt. But he worked with nature, just like Frank Lloyd Wright. And that's where if they wanted to overdevelop something, he wasn't into it. He wanted nature, and that's part of why I think why the Arboretum has this, you know, it's the Arboretum where you can go hiking and, you know, so there's that nature thing. And so that's I think we need to go back to that. I'm just saying, you know, I think we need to
wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, we need, the way the world is going and climate change and all of that, the more we can work with nature instead of against her, the better. So I think he knew his stuff for sure. But everyone, again, keep up with Debbie on her stories on blendradioandtv.com. Also, her park adventures, go to nationalparktraveling.com. You'll see her in our expert department. And, of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We are now daily, airing at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, except for holidays. Thanks all for joining us. Thanks, Fire Monkey.
Thank you so much. Take good care. Till next time.
Yeah, talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.